Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today, and what a blessing that has been. We just thank the Lord for that. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you look with me to the book of Judges in chapter 20. The book of Judges, chapter 20. We're going to be reading verse 18 down to verse 28 this morning. If you would stand with me, if you're able to do so, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. The book of Judges, chapter 20, verse 18. And the children of Israel rose and went up to the house of God and asked counsel of God and said, which of us shall go up first to battle against the children of Benjamin? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up first. The children of Israel rose up in the morning and encamped against Gibeah. And the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin. And the men of Israel put themselves in array to fight against them at Gibeah. And the children of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah and destroyed down to the ground of the Israelites that day 22,000 men. And the people, the men of Israel, encouraged themselves and set their battle again in array in the place where they put themselves in array the first day. And the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until even and asked counsel of the Lord, saying, shall I go up again to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother? And the Lord said, go up against him. The children of Israel came near against the children of Benjamin the second day. And Benjamin went forth against them out of Gibeah the second day and destroyed down to the ground of the children of Israel again 18,000 men. All these drew the sword. Then all the children of Israel and all the people went up and came unto the house of God and wept and sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until even and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And the children of Israel inquired of the Lord, for the ark of the covenant of God was there in those days. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before it in those days, saying, shall I yet again go out to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother, or shall I cease? And the Lord said, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into thine hand. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, we thank you for what we've already experienced, just being assembled together in this place. Thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you for your word that you have preserved for us to know the very mind of God. And I pray this morning as we look into this passage of scripture here in Judges that you would speak to us through this, that you would give us the understanding and the application that we have need of today. I pray that you would empower the preaching of thy word. Use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As we look here in the book of Judges, there was a civil war taking place in Israel. 12 tribes of Israel made up the land of Israel. At this particular time, there was no king and there was no judge judging over the nation of Israel at this time. The majority wanted to keep God's laws. They were established by the laws of God as Joshua led them into the promised land. And they took of the promised land that was given to them of God. They were established by the laws of God. They were to abide by the commandments and the laws that God had established. Most of them at this particular time, the majority wanted to keep God's laws. But there was one tribe of Benjamin that had condoned a very evil act. that the other tribes would not be able to accept. And so we find that these 11 tribes went to battle the tribe of Benjamin. Now, as we study this, the Bible tells us that Israel, the 11 tribes, had 400,000 soldiers to go up against the tribe of Benjamin that only had 26,700. If you would study there in chapter 20, it reveals those numbers to us. As we look in verse 18, the Bible tells us they ask counsel of God. Now listen to me, they're doing everything right. They're thinking that we are right and justified in not wanting this unrighteous act to be condoned in the promised land, the land of God, the land of the children of God. They were to set an example to the rest of the world as to who God was and how God would have his children to live. And this was not something that they could accept. And so they asked counsel of God, the Bible says, and he told them to go up. Matter of fact, he told them that Judah should lead the charge. In verse 21, and the children of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah and destroyed down to the ground of the Israelites that day 22,000 men of Israel. Huge defeat. 22,000 men, soldiers, died that day. God allowed them to be defeated. Chapter 20, verse 22, we look here and the Bible says, and the people, the men of Israel, encouraged themselves. Very important that we learn this biblical principle of encouraging ourselves. And they set their battle again in array in the place where they put themselves in array the first day. So the people encouraged themselves, and they were not going to be defeated, and so they went back and they thought, no, we've counseled, this is what we need to do, this is what's right, we have God on our side, and we're going to do it again. We're not stopping. We're going to go back against them. We know that we're in the right, they're in the wrong, and let's go back and defeat them the second day. Verse 25, Benjamin went forth against them out of Gibeah the second day and destroyed down to the ground of the children of Israel again 18,000 men. God allowed a second defeat. 18,000 soldiers. Combined now, we have 40,000 soldiers died. Verse 26, and all the children of Israel and all the people went up and came into the house of God and wept and sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. We find that they came back and now for the first time, the people fasted. Encouraged themselves, they prayed, they sought counsel, now they've fasted to the Lord. In verse 28, and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before it in those days, saying, shall I yet again go out to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother? God, is this something that we're doing right? Is something you'd have us do, this civil war? Or shall I cease? Did somehow or other we lose sight of what was right? Did we lose sight of your call? Did we lose sight of your will for our lives? Should we not be doing this? Should we cease? And the Lord said, go up. This is a third time now. For tomorrow I will deliver them into thy hand. Israel was doing everything right, and yet God allowed defeat. Can I tell you that things will not always go the way we might think they should go? We know that the Word of God is given to us by God in everything in the Old Testament is for our learning as an example for us in this New Testament church age. We look and we learn from those things. God allowed two defeats. I mean, these were huge defeats, 40,000 soldiers. And yet in the mind of Israel, we're in the right and we're doing what God would have us to do. Why would God allow us to be defeated by an evil-minded, wicked tribe of Benjamin? As things don't always go the way that we think they should go, as we study this passage of Scripture, we study this example that we have before us, we should never give up on God or on righteousness. We should never give up on our understanding and belief in God, more important today than possibly ever before, especially in the United States of America. When the fastest growing religion today is atheism. Atheism is a belief. It's a religion. Turning away from the reality of God. Turning away from should seemingly be understood by all, if you just have any common sense, righteousness, morality. The cold, hard fact of our day and age today, as we study the Bible and we know the mind of God that He's revealed it to us, the tribulation period is coming. If you understand who God is and you understand what this Bible teaches us, we're living in a New Testament church age. And at the end of this church age, whenever it is, God did not tell us when. He told us some signs and some things that would be taking place. He didn't tell us when this New Testament church age would come to an end, but the event of the rapture will end this New Testament church age. And after the rapture of the church and God's representatives, the believers are going to be taken out of this world, there's going to be a 7-year tribulation period. In order for the tribulation to be what the Bible says the tribulation period is going to be, there has to be a direction headed toward that. And He's revealed that to us. If you look, if you will, in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, setting the foundation here, this is a biblical principle taught in this passage of Scripture. Of Israel, the 11 tribes of Israel, even in a civil war going against the tribe of Benjamin. And there's something here that God would have us to learn. That's why we read it. That's why we have it recorded in the Bible. In the book of 2 Thessalonians, in chapter 2, as Paul is writing to the church of Thessalonica, they had been taught that the rapture had already taken place. And so now Paul is writing to the church, and he's trying to help them to see that that has not happened and the reason behind that. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, he says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come." That day is the rapture, the day that the New Testament church age will end. "That day shall not come except there come a falling away first." A huge falling away, an apostasy. Turning away from biblical principles, turning away from what God has established. "For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." That man of sin would be Antichrist. The world is headed toward a Antichrist mentality. What is that? It's anti whatever Christ stood for. It's anti whatever Christ taught. It's anti-New Testament church. It's anti-New Testament scriptures. Everything, whatever Christ taught, there's coming a day, and we're leading to a point When the church will be taken out, the rapture will take place, the tribulation will be here, but there's an antichrist mentality leading up to that point. Amen. Everybody with me? That's just what the Bible says. And he says that this antichrist movement who opposed the and exalteth himself, humanism, above all that is called God. Humanism is going to usurp any teachings of God, that there is a God. And humanism is going to overpower any Christian conviction, any laws that were established based on the Bible. Who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshiped, so that he as God, this mentality is going to be the God of the world. This idea of humanism and what it stands for, antichrist, is going to be what motivates and what governs the world. Who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is what's going to take place. And of course, after the rapture of the church, there's going to be a one world religion that's going to be established, and there's going to be a one world government established. There's going to be a one world currency established. We see that we are leading up to that place closer today than ever before for any of those things to happen. Now, all of those things are very clear. If you know what's taking place around the world, if you know what's taking place in government and the economy and everything else, it's all leading to that mentality. The Bible, this is written 2,000 years ago and preserved for us today, knowing what was going to take place. Now, if you will, look over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy, right after 2 Thessalonians, you find 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Timothy, Paul is writing now to Timothy, who'd be pastoring a New Testament church. And he tells Timothy in chapter 3 and verse 13, going right along with this, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. You could put in there evil men and seducers and teach this would be the Antichrist. That's evil, is anything opposite God and opposite the ways of God. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Most of them really believe what they are teaching. We have some wacky politicians running today. And with anyone with any common sense, you think, what in the world are they thinking? But yet they believe what they are thinking. However, they can be deceived and blinded to that. They actually believe that that's the way that they need to lead America, lead the United States of America, and if you will, lead the world. He says this is going to happen. Cold, hard facts. We have to get to a place where Antichrist is going to completely dominate the world. There has to be an apostasy leading up to that, unfolding before our very eyes. Now, I'm not a doom and gloom type of guy. I think, praise the Lord, this is a great time to be a witness for Christ. The world needs the witness of Christ, the light of the church, more than ever before. Amen? And praise the God for the light of the Lighthouse Baptist Church. Thanks God for the witness of the membership and of the Bible here, just saying that we're not changing anything. We don't have a belief that is so far-fetched that it's out there in nowhere land. No, we're just trying to maintain, if you will. We're trying to hold fast to what made America great to start with, amen? It's what God established America to be, a Christian nation, a light to the world, an opportunity for all the world to have freedom of religion. That's what we were based upon. That's why we were established. God has blessed America to enable his church to flourish around the world. Freedom.
Not forcing anybody, not trying to do anything, and as a hate-minded people, we are a love-minded people. We are a people that love the world as God so loved the world and sent his only begotten Son. We are the same type of mentality as Jesus Christ was. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He understood that the world was going to go to a devil's hell outside of accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Understanding that we want people to be saved. We want to love people. We want to help people to understand biblical truths. There is a God. And he does have a desire. He has a design plan for humanity. So we find here after Timothy, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And look what he says here. He said, but you, Timothy, you, church, you that know that there's a God, who believe in the Bible, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. We're not following after a man's doctrine. We're not following after humanism. We're not following after some kind of a cultish mindset. We're just following what we have learned to be the Word of God. God is still the one to turn to, and in time will give us the victory. God is still the one to turn to, even though you might lose 22,000 in the first battle. And you think, are we not in the right? Are we not standing for righteousness? And did we not seek God? Is this not something that God wants us to maintain? A godly society in Israel. And if we allow this to take place, then that's the testimony of God. And so the 11 tribes of the nation of Israel said, we cannot, let's band together and let's go up against Benjamin and let's let him know you cannot dishonor God this way. And they thought they were in the, and they were in the right. And they sought the counsel of God. But they come away from the first battle losing 22,000 soldiers. Didn't expect that. What's going on? God knew that we would need to learn from that very same example. It's not always going to go the way we think it ought to go. Not in this world. They encouraged themselves and set the battle in array again. They said, well, maybe this was just a fluke. Maybe there was something to learn from this. Let's go back. We know we're doing it the right way. Let's go back the very same way. Let's go up against them again. And surely God will give us a victory this time. They go up against them a second time. And they lose 18,000 and were defeated. Well, we must be serving the wrong God. Maybe we ought to try the God of Baal. Or maybe we just ought to join the tribe of Benjamin and say, hey, can't defeat them, let's join them. That's not what they did. That was not the testimony of the children of God. They encouraged themselves. They fasted. They didn't turn away from God. They got closer to God. Then turned away from righteousness. They held to what was right. And the third time, God was able to give it to them the first time. He allowed them to be defeated twice. But they held to their convictions. They held to their belief in God. They held to their what was righteous, even when things didn't go the way that they thought they would. They didn't give up, and God gave them the victory. Pray, fast, encourage yourself. We need to learn that very same truth. We're not guaranteed Christian life. Everything's going to go the way we want it to go. Praise the Lord. Every now and then we get an election that goes the way we might want it to go. And we pass some laws and we think, oh, maybe they're going to get back to what's right. And then you look and you see them passing laws and celebrating full-term abortion. And you think, how evil can it get? Are we on the right side? Is there really a God? And the answer should be yes, there is a God. And we are on the right side of righteousness. But everything's not going to go the way that we think it ought to go in this world. But we are going to get the victory. Amen. We just have to stay faithful to God and righteousness. So I'm going to give you three things real quickly here. That's why we have that passage of scripture. That's why we have that example in Old Testament. That's why God allowed them to be defeated. And he wanted us to see that there was a huge defeat, but they didn't give up. They just added to encouraging themselves and prayer. They added fasting to that. They never gave up. They took advantage of all that God had for them, and eventually God gave them the victory. So don't lose sight of God or righteousness when facing trials. Facing trials. You think that was a trial that they were going through? I guarantee you it was a trial that God took them through. When they thought they got had it together, they thought, 400,000 against 27? We're going to win this battle. And God says, well, I want you to think that you're going to. I want you to see that if you just look at the numbers, if you look at the circumstances, there's no question that you should win that battle. And they go up against this evil tribe of Benjamin who was condoning something that was very evil. I didn't have time to explain that to you. Read that chapter, read that, and you'll see how evil it was. And they go up against us thinking that we have God on our side, we have righteousness on our side, and yet we find that God allowed them to go through this trial where they were defeated. Trials are brought into our lives to strengthen our faith. But if you do not stick to your faith, if you do not continue to look to God and believe in God, then the trial itself will defeat you if you do not keep the faith. But if you keep the faith and you look to God, then as you get through that trial, you'll be stronger on the other side of it than you were when you went into it. We need to learn to pray. We need to learn to encourage ourselves and fast when we're going through the trials, when facing trials. When facing discouragement. Anybody ever been discouraged? That's part of life. Discouragement itself is not sinful. To give in to discouragement is sinful. We are not to give in to discouragement. As Joshua established that as the nation of Israel going in. No, you're to be in encouragement. You are to encourage others. You cannot give in to discouragement or you will not be an encourager. You cannot allow yourself to be dismayed. And there's no reason to be dismayed. You have the Almighty God behind you. No matter what happens, even if he allows you to be defeated, you still have God on your side. Don't give up on God or on righteousness. When facing discouragement. Let me take you to another passage of scripture. Look at 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 30. One that you might be a little bit more familiar with when it comes to David. A man after God's own heart. David had come to a hard place in his life. He had made some very bad decisions as he was running from Saul. And because of that, God chastened David.
He allowed Ziklag, the city that they were in, to be destroyed. He allowed his family to be taken captive. And David's own men were ready to kill David. Discouragement. Look here, 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 3. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Have you ever been so discouraged and so down that cried out all your tears? That's huge discouragement. That was huge defeat. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam and Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. Possibly one of the, even after all the things that David went through, this might have been the very worst time of David's life. Greatly distressed. For the people spake of stoning him, his own men, his beloved men of war, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord God, Lord his God. David encouraged himself in the Lord. He placed right thoughts about God in his mind. That's what encouraging yourself is. It's putting the right thoughts of who God is, putting the right thoughts of righteousness, putting the right thoughts in your own mind and accepting those thoughts. I always tell people you need to make sure you're thinking right. In order to be able to think right, you have to know what's right to think. And then once you know what's right to think, you have to take what's right to think and put it in your own mind and think that way. That makes sense? Yeah. That's encouraging yourself. That's something that no one else can do for you. That's something that we all have to do for ourselves. Receiving encouragement from others is a blessing. It is. Have you ever been talked off of a bridge? Yeah. You're thankful that God brought that person into your life now, because you really couldn't see the light then. You might have thought, no desire to live, no purpose in my life, might as well jump. Somebody come alongside of you and said, no, you're just going through a tough time right now. Things are going to change. Even though you might not be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel, there's one there. Even though you might not understand that you have the rest of your life ahead of you, you have the rest of your life ahead of you. Don't make the wrong decision now to miss out on all the future blessings that God has in store for you. Can I tell you that God has in store for us future blessings? Satan would love to blind us to that so that we give up on life, we give up on God, we give up on righteousness because we're not thinking clearly. And praise the Lord for godly counsel. Praise the Lord for godly parents. Praise the Lord for godly people that God brings into our life. And most of all of us here would say, yeah, I can think back to a time where if it wasn't for this counsel, if it wasn't for this individual, I would have jumped. Or I would have made some bad decisions. I would have done some things that I would have been sorry for later. And so I'm thankful for others who can be used to encourage me. But can I tell you, there's going to come times when there's nobody else there. And everybody around you, even your own faithful men of war, are speaking of stoning you. The difference between victory or defeat, happiness or sorrow, doing right or wrong, even life or death, may well depend on learning to encourage yourself. Pray and seek the face of God. Encourage yourself. The nation of Israel said, we're in the right. After that defeat, they had to huddle, had to come back and say, all right, we didn't get it on the first down. We got three more to go. We don't want to wait to the fourth. Hopefully God will give it to us on the third, but we got at least. They got back in the huddle and they said, hey, we know we can run on these guys. We just need to believe we can. We need to give it all. We might not have given it all the first time. We have a good game plan here. We've studied it. We know what we need to do. Let's get back. Let's just hit it again. And they put the right thoughts in their minds. And they went back out with the right thoughts. And they were defeated a second time. They didn't give up. All right, let's get back together here. What's available to us? Maybe we try a pass this time. We're not going to give up. We're going to get the downs. We're going to get the yardage we need. We're going to accomplish this. And so we find the nation of Israel says, God has given us a tool of fasting. We haven't done that yet. We're not going to give up on God. We're not going to give up on righteousness. We know that God's real. We know that we're in the right. Let's just add to whatever we have to add to. We're going to get the victory. And they add to this idea of fasting. They add to this idea of drawing closer to God. And as they did this, they went back and God said, I'm going to give you the victory right now. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on righteousness. God has a victory in store for us. When facing trials, when facing discouragement, one last one, when overcoming sin. Have you ever just, God did something to my life when I was 12 years old. I started smoking cigarettes when I was 10, 11. God done something in my life. Somebody gave me a bad cigarette. I got sick as a dog. And I said, Lord, if you get me back to my room without my dad finding out about this, I'll never smoke again. Yeah, he did. Now, the very thought, when I'm around it, takes me back to that sickness I had when I was 12 years old. And I've never had a problem with smoking since that time. Some people do. And, of course, now we know, yeah, they wanted to addict you to that so they can make money. And you say, I'm going to put it away. I'm not smoking again. And before you know it, you're back to smoking and thinking, what am I doing? And there's not only smoke, there's other things go along. Have you ever been there where you just think, well, I can't defeat it. Might as well just hide it and just do it. No, you can't hide it from God. We are not to have any addictions that control us, especially those that are harmful to this physical body that God's given to us. When overcoming sin, I need to learn to encourage myself. I need to learn to pray. I need to learn to fast. 2 Corinthians, and we're done here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, very powerful passage of scripture, tells us how we need to face the spiritual warfare of life. Tells us for our weapons are not of our warfare are not carnal, but of mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's addictions that we have. That's sins that we can't hardly seem to defeat that so easily beset us. And the Bible says this about defeating that sin. He says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know what that verse is telling us? Learn to encourage yourself. Learn to have right thinking. Learn to control your mind. Casting down imaginations. Not every thought that comes to your mind is actually your thought. We fight a spiritual warfare, and if Satan can get you thinking a certain way, he's going to make suggestions to you, suggestions as far as accept this thought and accept that thought. The flesh is going to make a suggestion. It's going to say, yeah, I want you to receive this thought, and I want you to receive that thought, but that's all suggestions. It's not yours until you receive it, until you accept it as your thought. That's when it becomes sin. If you learn to encourage yourself when you're facing sin, then you'll make sure that you don't accept the wrong thinking concerning that sin, but you will control the imagination and you will bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. That's learning to encourage yourself when no one else is around, God is around. And you're only accountable for your make sure you don't give in to wrong thinking. Make sure that you don't give up on God. Make sure that you don't give up on righteousness. But you learn to look to God. Encourage yourself and pray. And continue to seek God's will. Whatever's going on in your life. We have this illustration of the 11 tribes of Israel going up against the one tribe of Israel that was very evil. No doubt what was right. No doubt what was God's will. Even though they defeated twice, they didn't give up. And God gave them the victory. I believe God can give you the victory as well. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Receive what God has just given to us. And this story in the Old Testament of Israel, given for an example for you and I to learn from, be admonished by. It might not be the way that you thought it was going to be. God is still God. Right is still right. Don't give up on it. Don't give up on it. Father, we bow before you now. We love you, Lord, and thank you for loving us. We thank you for the truth of this passage of Scripture and how we have seen it revealed throughout the Scriptures concerning your will for our lives and controlling our thinking. And I pray, God, that we would, each and every one here, have a desire to look to you and hold to right thinking. Do right. No matter what. I pray right now in this invitation, God, you know how you have used this message in the hearts and minds of all that are here. You know, there might be somebody here that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior. Right now, I pray, God, that conviction would come over them and they would have a desire to come to this altar and with their own mouth call upon the name of the Lord, knowing that that's what it takes to be saved. Pray for Christians that are getting ready to give up and have possibly even given up on righteousness and given up on you. I pray, God, that you would bring them back to the place where they need to be. Work in our midst now, blessing this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.